The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clare for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clare. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clare.
And this is the HOD Hour with Stan Clare. And I'm pleased to inform you that tonight we're going to be talking about Limud. We're going to the ins and outs of it. We have with us as guests Salit Swiza, who's the national chairman, and we have also Ryan Davis, who's the leader of the Johannesburg segment of Limud. Also have Dr. Natalie Solomon, a psychologist who assists me greatly in bringing in speakers and generally with the show. I don't tend to ask many questions, but now and again she'll try and force her way in, but we'll tolerate that. And I'd just like to give you a little bit of introduction. So I said that Sarit was the co-chair of the national co-chair of Limut SA, but she's a clinical psychologist in private practice, and more importantly, I don't know if it's more important, she coordinates the counseling services for Nahama in Cape Town, a very important organization. And Ryan is an industrial psychologist and people development consultant coach. His company, Next Peak, which partners individuals, teams, and organizations to design, implement solutions that enhance people's lives and communities. And he recently presented his story at the AJC, Global Forum in Washington, where he talked about Jewish travel. Now, that's going to take quite a speech, because I mean, the Wandering Jew, that must be, could have taken you days to get through that program. But welcome, Sarit, and welcome, Ryan, and welcome, Natalie, and
thanks.
I don't know who should start, but Sarit, you're the national chairman, co-chairman, so I want to start off at the very beginning. I know that Limud in Hebrew is taught or educate, educated, and but why Limud? What was the rationale for starting it, and where do you hope to go with it? I see you describe yourselves as a charity, but just give us direction.
Okay, so Ryan, please feel free to jump in as well while I'm speaking. I have to admit that I actually wasn't around in the first few years of Limud, and it's one of my greatest regrets, because when I did discover Limud eventually, it was just a really...
Come closer to the mark, Sarit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now, Peter.
Okay. I was just saying that, you know, when I did discover Limud, I was totally taken by it. So the idea of Limud is, you know, it's about learning. And, you know, this is obviously one of the most important principles for Jews, is that we've always learned, we have known about our heritage, our traditions, we, the people of the book. And so Limud is really about learning, and it's learning from all different kinds of paths of life, you know, from different streams. So what I mean by that is we'll have a track on arts and culture and performance, and then we'll have a track on Torah, history, politics. So it's really an opportunity to broaden your Jewish learning and your Jewish horizons. One of the things I think it's important for people to know about Limud is that there's always choice. So when we have our conferences, you'll see, even if for those of you who haven't seen our program yet, you can go onto our website. It's limud.org.za. And you'll see that there's about 7 sessions every hour. So nobody is forced to learn any one thing. The choice is in your hands. And it's an opportunity to hear the best, you know, Jewish thinkers in South Africa and around the world. And, you know, that's really what we as volunteers are all committed to doing, is to scouting out, to co-creating a space where we all learn and we go further on our journeys.
So this is going away from pure religion. This is really talking about Jews in general, what they do, how they do it, and what impact they make in the lives of people. Would I be right?
Yeah, I think it's both. You know, we have a Torah track, so, you know, it's about religion and it's about, you know, we have spirituality, but you're right. We very much, you know, bring in people who have done amazing tikkun olam, and we'll bring in people who are involved in politics. You'll see on our program for the Limud event that we're holding, there'll be a talk on economics. So absolutely, yeah.
And Ryan,
is this the first?
Sorry, carry on.
Is it the first time you've gone online?
It is. It's been a very exciting endeavor. We weren't sure if we were going to do it, and we took a very quick decision, and I think within about 3 weeks we got this all together. Sure. It's the first time we're going online, and there's a lot of benefit. You know, it's obviously sad because I think I'll shut up soon so Ryan can speak, but I think one of the, you know, the sad things is that one of the beautiful parts of Limud is that people come together from all over the Jewish community for a weekend in Johannesburg and Cape Town and Durban. It's usually for a day, and you come together, you learn, you talk between the sessions, and we are going to miss out on that element. But the benefit of coming online is that we can actually, you know, reach Jews who live far out. We've had some interest from people in East London and Bloemfontein, and that's obviously something, you know, we can't always reach everybody far out. So the other advantage of having an online event is that we can bring back some of the top hits from the past few years, and that's been very exciting because we do build relationships and connections through the learning together. And so I think a lot of people are excited to e-meet those presenters again.
So I've looked on Wikipedia, which is often my first point of call promoted on Wikipedia, then you know you've made it in the world. Maybe it's erroneous information of not factual, but every country in the world is listed there, and South Africa is just, that gives a blurb about all of them. South Africa is a one-liner saying, yes, we have Limud in South Africa. I was quite offended by that. I don't know if you are.
Well, it might appear like that in Wikipedia, but I can really attest to the fact that when we look for international presenters, South Africa is one of the most sought-after destinations for international presenters to come to. They just know that our community is so welcoming and warm and interested in learning. So I don't know if we should go on Wikipedia. I don't know what you think, Ryan.
No, don't worry about that. I was yanking your chain. But in actual fact, I have had interaction with a number of people around the world that have heard of South Africa, believe it or not. They've also heard that Limud is here. And I think some of them may have even been, presenters on Limud. But I want to get back to a little bit about the range of topics and what you do in the marketplace, because it's quite a wide ranging thing. And I see there's one of the presenters, is Greg Alexander, and he's presenting a session on the power of garlic. Now, garlic actually is one of my pet hates. The first thing I look for in every item of food is there garlic? So I'm very intrigued to be able to, I'm prepared to come on to listen to Limud on this weekend because I just want to get to the bottom of this.
I was going to jump in and say, well, if you don't want to go to that one, there's a lot more choice. But you know, it's an interesting one because some people are turned off just by the kind of sessions that the presenters do speak about. But it is. If that's going to get you there as a starting point, you'll come to the first session and you'll be hooked for life.
Okay,
carry on.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I looked at the synopsis for that session and you might be offended to hear that apparently the Romans called us garlic eaters. So that's what you wanted to talk about.
I knew about that. But we think that the Italians and the Greeks are garlic eaters. So it's a bit of a, who's right and who's wrong. But all right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. So Limud starts back in England. We won't go into the controversies. I don't think that's important. I think what we want to focus on here is really what you can present for the people. You know, people who want to come on the show and be presented or to be part of Limud, do they just volunteer or do you go out and seek those people that you want to include in some way? Or is it a sort of a bit of both?
So I'll take a crack at this one. First of all, Stan and Natalie, thank you so much for having us on the show. You know, we love community and we love Limud, and any opportunity to speak about these two important things, which actually are the same thing to us, is a real opportunity. So thank you so much. In terms of what we try to create at Limud, and maybe just going back to the initial question that you asked Sarit, look, it took me a long time to get there as well. My certain family members had been going for years and trying to get me there, and I think a lot of my perception was, you know, Limud isn't for me. It's for hippies. It's for people that are, I mean, and if you were to ask friends now, maybe they would call me all the things that I once called people that went to Limud. But I think the first time I went just to experience the sense of community that I think I had been looking for so long, and so many other people that arrive at Limud feel. It's a place where whoever you are from anywhere in the Jewish community around South Africa, around the world, you can arrive there and find a place for yourself. Both, firstly, from the types of sessions and learning that would appeal to you. But more than that, that there's just an acceptance of difference and diversity. We all are feeling the potential sense of loss of not having a residential Limud in Johannesburg and Cape Town this year because of what the Shabbat experience is like, to be sitting around a table around a lot of tables in a hall with 500 people, who you would never ever have a Shabbat dinner with, because you just would never find yourself at the same dinner. And just a celebration of whoever you are, if you want to take one step further on your Jewish journey, which is, I guess, the way of life, or the thing that we live by in Limud that guides all our values, to add one step closer on your Jewish journey, whatever that might be, there's a place for you there. So as Sarit said, if you are looking for Torah, if you are looking for Zionism, if you are looking for arts and culture which relates to Judaism, to social justice and tikkun olam, to history, there's a place for you. And what we often find is people arrive at Limud to get a taste of what they really love about Judaism, or what they are looking for. And as they get involved there after their first Limud, they want to grow in other areas and become more involved in the community and become more involved in Jewish learning. So the real beauty of it is that ability to find a space where you get to interact with people that are so different to you, but are still on the same mission to just grow in their Judaism, in whatever that might mean.
The fact is that everybody that you come across really does have a story, and it's a question of how you get it out. And sometimes you might click with the most unforeseen situation where you probably would never dream of approaching anybody or talking to anybody, but suddenly you in this kind of environment, I guess you would click with them because they're speaking the kind of language that you want to hear. It's not always going to be the case, and I'm sure that there's often things which you might object to, but I mean, I think it's listening to somebody else's opinion or hearing their story sometimes I've learned, especially over Chai FM, because we've had quite a number of different speakers with different topics, and what they brought out is just makes you think, and I think that's a big thing in life, to be able to stretch a little bit.
And at the same time,
one of the beautiful.
Yeah, sorry, Ned. You know that it's like when you're speaking over Skype instead of sitting in the studio, it feels like when you're seeing someone at the shops in your quick run out behind their masks, and you don't know if they're smiling or not at you. But yeah, sorry to jump in.
Yeah, normally I can put my hand up when Natalie's in the studio and stop her from talking, but here it's difficult.
But I think one of the values, and Limud holds itself to a certain number of values, but one of them is that we have something to learn from everyone, and that everybody has a story. Can you talk to some of the values that Limud holds?
Could I maybe just quickly ask, sorry, Stan, just before we jump onto that, you asked about how you get involved, and I think I sort of backtracked a bit. When you asked that, it just went straight back, and I guess it's going into the values. But everyone, Limud is a volunteer-run organization, volunteer-led, and everyone is encouraged to really, really play a part in making it happen. We don't have any paid employees in South Africa. Everything is run by volunteers, and we stand firm on that. So every single thing that you see happening this year for our online Limud or in our in-person Limud is run by teams of volunteers. And how people get involved generally is they come to Limud for the first time, they fall in love with it, they love what's being created for them, and they in turn want to be part of continuing to build that community that is so dear to them. So it really is, and one of the values that comes straight to mind is this value of participation, which is all about, it happens because everyone that comes and wants to be a part of it makes it happen. You sit in a session and there aren't, you don't go in as a attendee and a presenter isn't a speaker. It's a real conversation and everyone's a participant. So that's just to kick that off, at least the thing that I love most about it.
So in a situation, in an organization like this, I mean, is there a filtration process of how you allow people to talk? I mean, you wouldn't just, somebody volunteers to talk, you clearly would check it out and see that it's not going to be offensive in any way or anything like that, I guess. But, I mean, because a lot of the topics are so varied. Some of them are pretty mainstream. You have Paula Sleer, she's going to talk about the government and so on in Israel. But then you have other topics which could be a little bit controversial. But I mean, surely you go through a process of checking out who the talk speaker is, or do you go and find them and ask them to talk?
So we have a bit of both. You know, I think obviously with our weekend conferences, we have a lot more. We usually have about 150 sessions over the whole weekend, something, you know, some kind of number like that. And we have a mixture of people who kind of put their hand up and say they'd love to present something. And then we also scout speakers. So, you know, we look very hard through lots of different Jewish channels to find great presenters who have interesting topics. But I think, you know, this is where our values do come in, because, you know, one of the values is empowerment. So we might have a volunteer who potentially, you know, we know is a historian and actually is perhaps, you know, just a little bit shy. So they've never put their hand up to come and speak. And part of that empowerment is actually getting them to be a presenter as well, not just getting sort of superstars from abroad. At the same time, you know, another value that we really hold dear is respect. So of course, if, you know, we know that the person has a track record of not being respectful to the way they answer questions, that the arguments and other values that they're not for the sake of i.e. they're just pushing up an agenda or a point, you know, generally that's not what we're looking for. So I think we can have controversial talks.
You don't want to create the wrong platform.
So we have controversial talks, but they're not for the sake of controversy. I think that's very much not, you know, our aim at all. You know, we do want to broaden people's horizons and open up different possibilities and thought and different thoughts on things. But, in no way do we want to push any agenda. And so I think, you know, those are all led by the values that we have. I just want to mention that I think one other value that's so important is that at Limud, you know, Ryan was saying everything that everyone does is for free and they volunteer, and that the same goes to our presenters. We don't pay presenters to speak. And in fact, because I'm one of, you know, what's so dear to us is learning. We expect that everyone who comes is a student and a teacher. They can be a teacher and a student. And so, you know, you'll have presenters who are going to leave their session and then go and sit in another 10 sessions and enjoy the learning. Sure. So, and I think that's one of the beautiful things of the space. So like Ryan over here is going to be presenting, and I have no doubt he's also going to be sitting and, you know, having FOMO about which other sessions to go to on Sunday next week. Yeah.
So this is the Hebrew Order of David. It's a HOD hour. We present once a week on a Thursday evening from 6 to 7. Tonight we're hosting the senior management of Limud. That's Sarit Suiza and Ryan Davis. Sarit is the national co-chairman of Limud, and Ryan is the Johannesburg, or I suppose the Gauteng, leader of the organization, the branch. And we're talking about Limud. We're talking about the upcoming conference, which is going to be an online conference, which takes place on the 17th of May. You've got 50 sessions. That's 50 hours. You're going to cram it into 4 hours in the afternoon from 2 to 6. I don't know how you're going to do that. But that's going to be an interesting task on its own. And we're talking about how the speakers get to speak and how the organization runs and where speakers volunteer, et cetera, et cetera. So I went back to the part of the education. I want to go back to the part of the education, which we started off with.
Yeah.
And the fact that you want to spread is why, and I really need to know this, why would you concentrate on things like a Torah track when there's so much of that around? Every rabbi, everybody wants to participate in that. And whereas if you could talk about other subjects, I mean, there must mm-hmm. be hundreds of other projects like genealogy, I mean, food, et cetera, which are out of that mainstream of religion, which people, I think, are listening to daily with their rabbonim or that on the weekend or Friday evenings. I know the shul that I go to, they have a program on a Friday afternoon. So why would you want to include that? Or is that just something which people are interested in? I'm interested to hear.
Sorry, if you don't mind, I'll jump at that one.
I can hear you. I can hear you raving to go. Go for it.
Go for it, Ryan.
So Stan, I think, you know, so the question is often asked, who is Limud for? You know, who should be at Limud? And I mean, this debate happens all the time, and I remember being at my first, I guess, discussion around that when Sarit and I attended Limud in the UK with a few of our other fellow volunteers. And I think that it all came round, and I remember I put my hand up at the end of the session just having reflected. I'm a big extrovert, so I don't usually think about things before I say them, and I just threw it out and I said, you know, it sounds like Limud's for everyone. and the response was sort of everyone in the room nodded and was like, yes, obviously, you said the obvious answer, you know, that's what it is. But, you know, for some Jews in the community, when they think about learning, it's about learning text and learning Torah and learning from a teacher that's steeped in Torah for that specific time. Whereas someone else wants to learn about how Judaism is represented in across film and art and culture. Someone else is going to be inspired by the foundational Jewish aspect of social justice and repairing the world. And someone else is going to be taken by Holocaust and genocide issues and how that affects our fabric as a Jewish community, past, present, and future. We are super aware about the Zoom fatigue. I think there was actually Stan, you and I chatted about, I can't remember what the Jewish term is that has been termed for Zoom fatigue.
Oichazumt.
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 I think the challenge really is we want every single person that's looking for learning to find a place in every single session slot. We have got what we consider the best of the best Torah teachers, as well as the best of the best presenters on spirituality. We can only fit a few of them, unfortunately, in the program, but we want any Jew in South Africa to say, there's a place for me at Limud. I have a choice. I don't have to go to everything. I don't want to specifically learn about what's going on in terms of the controversies and the exciting things about Fauda, which everyone is talking about on Netflix. I'm not interested in film, but I want to hear everything. I want to spend every slot hearing about the Holocaust and where things are going from there. I want to be taken in by storytellers and hear Jewish stories. So, I think I've gone a bit round to get back to your question, but the idea really is we've thought so long and hard to say, how do we create a different type of Zoom presentation or session that relates to Torah, because people are hearing a lot of it. People are hearing a lot of medical stuff. But it's going to be new and dynamic and most importantly by presenters and teachers that the Limud community already loves and those that new participants will certainly love afterwards.
Can I add to that? Oh, sorry, I thought you were finished.
Yeah, go for it.
You know, I think I just wanted to say that, you know, it's like someone who really enjoys sort of learning Torah and going to Shiurim, you know, if they hear that a rabbi or a teacher that they really, you know, love learning from is coming to South Africa, you know, I think they would still go to hear that talk, even though they're going to Shiurim during the week and on Shabbat and all of that. And I think it's a similar thing here. It's enhancing, you know, the interest that people have already. So, for example, for me, you know, someone like Nechama Goldman Barash, who will be joining us, she was here in South Africa 2 years ago, and she's someone who has kind of really studied about women's issues and mikveh, and she knows everything that's going on, you know, with the coronavirus now around the world. She advises people, you know, so if you're already interested in that sort of thing, it's going to pique your interest more. So I think, you know, that could be one way of just looking at, you know, why are we offering this? But I think at the same time, because we reach such, you know, diverse segments of the community, you might have people who are coming to Torah talks who don't usually. And so I think, you know, because it's a Jewish journey, we just can't not have that on our program. It's so important to what it means to be Jewish.
The Hebrew order of David, the HRD.
Can you talk to...
Sorry, Carol. Natalie.
Sorry. It's been really hard. To help us.
Talk in the talk
class. I was hoping that you talk to some of us that have. It looks like a phenomenal lineup. I'd love for
I'm gonna come to the lineup in a little bit if you don't mind. I wanna just create the background. I just wanna give you a little bit of an idea of what, you know, from the HRD's point of view. We've taken under our wing the South African Jewish Genealogical Society, and we've had a lot of speakers. Until this period, we get a speaker on a Sunday evening, and they come from all over. We've had visitors from all over the world, you know, who've given a story about people or given stories about their lives and about their families' lives and so on. And some of that stuff is very fascinating. It isn't always of a religious nature, but all of this comes back to Judaism, which is so diverse I agree with you that there must be so many different people out there who don't want to listen to the religious aspect. I mean, they may be religious themselves, but they want to hear something else, a little bit different. And, you know, you would want to be able to access this kind of information. Maybe there's not enough of it. And maybe you've hit on something here. I think this national initiative is going to really work. I hope it does. And, I think from the point of view of, those people who really want to hear something different should go. So just give the details of the website and, how they register before we move on to the program.
So maybe just before that, the program has been released today, the full program. So it is available on all that. It's been, if you're on our mailing list, you would have received the program. It will be on all social media platforms, that we share on. If you haven't joined our Facebook page yet, if you do, you'll get all the updates. The best place probably at the moment to go to is to our Facebook page. Alternatively to our website, which will have all the information on registration and signing up and getting tickets, as well as the full program, which you can then deep dive into to get a real understanding of who the presenters are with their bios and a synopsis of all the session topics. And our website is limud.org.za, limud.org.za, and there is a tab on that webpage for eLimud, which you can click on, and it will take you to all that information.
Is there a cost?
So the cost is, we are trying to keep the cost as low as possible based on what everyone's going through at the moment. This specific eLimud is really to bring our community together. And that's, I mean, as you mentioned before, this national Limud, it's the first time that Johannesburg, Durban and Cape Town are coming together for a Limud to celebrate together, and in turn inviting those from all over South Africa, from the small communities and the other cities and right across Africa and the world as well. We've got some signups already from other African country Jewish communities, which is amazing. So we're seeing international signups. It's just exciting to bring everyone together. So as we say, that really is an opportunity to connect now. And because of that, we've tried to keep the cost as low as possible. Tickets are on sale at the moment for 180 Rand per device. So you, if you are watching on one device with your family, you would just buy one ticket. Obviously, people are more than welcome to buy a few tickets to watch in different rooms and be able to watch different sessions at the same time. But because of the time that we're going through now, we have, we are offering a COVID-19 discount, or if you have been affected by COVID-19, there is a discount, and you can buy a ticket for 18 Rand.
What does that ticket cover?
So that ticket covers access to the full 4 hours of the online Limud, which is 4 sessions. And in each session slot, you'll have an option to choose from 7 different sessions, which all cover most of those tracks that we had spoken about. So if you buy a ticket for either 180 Rand for the full price, or if you've been affected by COVID-19 and would still like to attend but can't afford that, you can buy a ticket for 18 Rand as well. That covers, as I say, as I mentioned, the whole afternoon.
Will there be recordings, or is it just what you hear is what you get?
We're working on it.
it's always a tough one. That's what gives people the most anxiety about being at any Limud, is you never only have one thing that you want to go to in one slot. So a lot of people are asking that, Stan, and we'll, it's not really the way that things are done at Limud. It's a kind of, everyone sort of goes to what they want to, and then comes together and shares the learnings from them. But
so like life, you have to live with your choice.
One of the most pivotal Limud experiences is terrible FOMO. and you know it's a good program if your FOMO is in the 11 out of 10. So I know people need to be, you know, they've got 4 sessions they want to go to in each slot. So I take that as a good sign.
On a general basis, if this wasn't online and you were having it live, you would have the same program in Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban, I presume.
So
the same lineup, or does it vary from city to city?
And, you know, so obviously our local speakers are different, but in each city, because, you know, we just wouldn't be able to fly out every single local speaker to all the different presenter to each of the cities. But our internationals, we bring them out for 10 days and we share them across the country. So we actually have quite a unique model in that way compared to any other country in the world. And I think that's part of the draw card for the internationals, is they come and they get to really have a taste of South Africa.
But this online, seminar or program that you've got actually must open up a lot of doors, because you can actually bring in more international speakers. The cost is minimal. You don't have to bring them here. It's obviously the way to go. Maybe that's going to be the future anyway, because travel, I think, is going to become more and more expensive. But from the point of view of running it from this, I mean, what is the ratio of international to local speakers now?
We were very deliberate in trying to have a 50-50 kind of balance in the program. So if I'm not, I mean, we might be one or two out, but I think Ryan last check was, I think we were pretty much on a par, if not a few more locals, just because we have some panels and conversations where there are more than one local presenter speaking.
And are there sessions broken up into sort of A, B, and C, like more popular or more should watch than, or is everybody given equal billing?
So we've got, as Sarit mentioned before, you know, everyone's a teacher, everyone can be a presenter. The local presenters are as important in terms of their content, and often get bigger crowds than some of our international presenters. So all the session slots, you know, there was a back and forth around, do we have just local presenter hours, or do we have, and then international presenter hours? And through a lot, the programming discussions, I don't even want to think how many hours we've sat on calls trying to really get a program which caters to every Jew in our Jewish community in every single slot as much as possible. So we've got a mix of local and international presenters in every slot. And what you'll notice when you look at the program, you'll see you'll see all different types of interests and our different tracks. So in one slot, you'll have someone presenting on Torah and philosophy, as well as another person on arts and culture, another person on Holocaust, another person potentially on politics, maybe something on modern society, all happening at the same time, and on Israel, you know. So the idea really is to create a balanced program in terms of any person that participates will find what they most interested in that particular hour. The challenge is that most people, as Sarit said, will find four things and not just one.
Does the fact that you have an international presence, I mean, this takes place around the world, does that help you in getting speakers? Are you sort of borrowing from others or getting a recommendation? Mm-hmm. This person's a good speaker, et cetera. Are they international in the sense that they come to different Limud sessions around the world, or is it really up to each individual country to do their own thing? Is there some sort of cohesion?
So I think, you know, each country runs Limud, you know, in a somewhat different way, in that the way that their scouts present it, their international presenters and so on. But the one thing that I think most Limuds around the world do is they try to send some delegates to what we call the mothership, Limud UK, in December. And they have like a week-long Limud where there's about 3,000 people who come together to learn and to share in ideas and to, you know, really just enjoy this week of learning. And actually that's where Ryan and I became friendly. We were delegates to Limud UK, and over there we try to send some people from South Africa each year, and they will often come back and say, you know, this is someone you just cannot miss. They're brilliant. And so what happens is not everybody that we bring out is necessarily on what we call the Limud circuit, but these are presenters who understand, you know, why we have the chutzpah to ask them to talk for us without paying them. And, you know, they've bought into just the beauty of sharing knowledge and wisdom and conversation amongst Jews. So yeah, I think it's something quite special the way that it runs. But I don't know. I hope that answers the question, Stan.
Yes. No, I'm just trying to get a sense of the international aspect of it, because I know that it's very popular. Had a lot of reports from the Limud UK. We, from the Hebrew Order of David, the HID's point of view, we have lodges right around the world. We have in London, we have in Atlanta, right throughout America, San Diego, Texas, even in Boca Raton, Canada, so, and in Israel. So we have a presence around the world, and, you know, they talk about it, and there's always, you know, should we be talking to you in some other way to be able to also maybe possibly have a presence that we would. We have a different kind of a message. I mean, we're a charity-based organization. But it's interesting because right in the beginning, we were approached by Limud when they started in South Africa to see whether the HID Center would be suitable as a venue. I don't think it would be, but it has other drawbacks. I don't want to go into all of that, the politics. But from the point of view of running, and we passed on it anyway. I don't know. I don't think we got the handle on what it is, but I'm interested to see how this has grown and, you know, what you present. And I have half an eye looked at the program, and I think as do others, but this might be an opportunity for us to, I'll send the notice to the lodges around the world and let them see if they want to participate, because we have a presence. And, you know, maybe they would want to, hear what's going on. I mean, it's not only South Africa. That's why I asked the question about the international aspect.
So, you know, Stan, I think, if I can maybe just add, I think the beauty of Limud, which I think is really talking to what you're talking to with the Hebrew Order of David, is this is about building community, and we build community through partnerships and collaboration and working together. So any opportunity that we see that for an organization that wants to partner with us, that wants to share resources in terms of, we've had this amazing presenter, you really should hear them. We are having a conference in Seattle, a Limud conference in Seattle. Be a part of it, present, participate. You know, so this international network, and I think it's not really spoken about enough the growth of Limud. There are new Limuds popping up in different cities around the world constantly, purely because people arrive and say, my gosh, this is the community that I've been looking for. I want to grow the Jewish community. I want to bring people in. I want to feel like this is moving forward and relevant to now. And the Limud bug, I guess, is, sorry, that bug is probably not right, the right word to use.
But it
has caught. And you know, people go once and really feel like they want to be part of this, and they want to, as we often say in Limud, not just, it starts off as participation and then it becomes voluntarcipation. So people start voluntarcipating. And we often joke about, when we ask people to get involved, we don't ask them to volunteer, we ask them to voluntarcipate. So any way to build that network and get people involved, and especially now that we're online and we have presenters on the program, you'll see from Costa Rica to Poland, to all over Israel and the United States, right around South Africa and more. This really is global. So not just from a presenter point of view, but let's bring on participants from all over the world. We would love that.
Well, participants who are, Natalie. Carry on.
I'm saying it really looks like a great, I think I'm mindful of the time that we only have 10 minutes left. And one, if you can kind of pique people's interest, is a bit of a taste, you know, of what's to come.
Yeah, so let's get to that in a moment. Just one question I want to just broach with you. I don't know if you want to answer it. You say you're a volunteer organization. It's like the Hebrew of David. We volunteers. We are a non-profit. Unfortunately, that's always a problem if you're a non-profit. You're not making any money. But how do you fund this organization? Clearly, there are costs. I mean, you talk about a Friday night dinner and so on. There must be costs. I presume people pay, but how do you cover that?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. You know, so I think even the residential conference, which, you know, I'm really excited about this, because I think for people who maybe find that too expensive, even that's probably about 50% subsidized, you know, compared to what the whole thing really, you know, costs to stay in a great hotel for the weekend and have meals, and, you know, also just the cost of the rooms for presentations. I think, we survive because of generous donations, and we have wonderful donors across the country who really support and love the work that we're doing and just want to see Limud continue. But I think it's also through people who attend. You know, we've had this very successful fundraiser on the Saturday night in Johannesburg for the last few years, where my coach Adina has kind of just managed to get people to, they kind of have looked around and loved what they've seen over the weekend, and they give a bit more, just a little bit more. And I think, you know, all of that just keeps us going. So we do have a lot of assistance, and that's what it comes down to.
And it also, based on the current model, this, like Sarit says, this is helping us in many ways to allow more people to be there, because there are costs involved. And just by paying your 180 Rand, people should know that they're already helping to subsidize for those that can't necessarily make that amount. We really work on that model where people come once and say, I want to help other people get here. So the online program really helps us to allow more people into the space automatically with less barriers.
And maybe I can just quickly say, I just wanted to quickly say that actually, you know, when I came for the first time, I was a student with not much money, and there was a very generous student rate for students who came and volunteered. So, you know, I've benefited from that, and it's really, I think if you want to sponsor someone else to attend, you could really change their life. So I guess I'll have to thank my donors.
So what can people look forward to this weekend? Just give us some of the highlights of the, you've mentioned that they come from different countries, but just mention some of the topics, and then after that, I give each an opportunity to give a personal bio of yourselves and a bit of a pun for your businesses, if you like, or your organizations. But right now, just give us a bit of a sense in the next few minutes of what we can expect over the weekend. I know they're going to go to your website, so mention that again. Mention your Facebook page and give us a bit of an idea of what we can expect.
So maybe I'll kick it off if you don't mind, sir. So I think what you can expect is some of our regular famous crowd pleasers and crowd gatherers,
pullers.
I guess.
Crowd pullers.
Like Adina Roth and Daniel Barnett and Tully Nates, who's the director of the Holocaust and Genocide Center in Johannesburg, as well as, so we also have some new dynamic artists that are going around the country showing their films, like Gabby Bloomberg on her personal story, and Chad Nathan and Josh Rubin, who are now in the news with the incredible photography that they've been taking during the lockdown to show people what's happening outside our suburbs. We've got internationals who have been draw cards, no standing room, and only standing room with Paula Sleer, who we all know so well, and Nathan Lopez Cardozo, we've been asking to come back to South Africa for years, and we were hoping that he would be back in the near future, as well as Martian Wojcinski, who is one of the leading academics on Jewish history, and specifically around Hasidism, and Shira Klein, who's a performer but also a Jewish educator that is taking the world by storm. Adam Mendelsohn is going to be presenting a full session on the new survey the survey results that have just come out on the Jewish community. I mean, I can go on and on. Sorry.
Is there any humor?
Yes, so I think, you know, I mentioned earlier that we've actually been fortunate enough to get to some presenters who we just haven't managed to get to South Africa before, and one of them is Gil Hovav. It's not going to be a comedy show, but he's a very humorous character, and he is actually the grandson of Eliezer Ben Yehuda, who has, you know, the founder of modern Hebrew. He's the voice you hear when you walk into Ben Gurion Airport. So, you know, he's an Israeli celebrity. He's a chef, you know, so he's going to be very exciting to hear, and I really recommend people come and e-meet him. And we'll also, the other person that we weren't able, sorry, it's not necessarily humor, but Yossi Klein Halevi, the author, who, you know, talks about just real lived experiences in Israel, and I think he'll be wonderful to have. But probably on the more humorous side, I really recommend for anyone who wasn't at our conferences last year, and if you were, I'm sure you'll want to hear him again, is Mishi Harman. He runs the Israel Story podcast in Israel. I really recommend you listen to that if you haven't. Get ready to be excited for his session at Limud. It's a wonderful podcast, and he's going to be telling the story of the Israel story, which I can't wait to hear.
Okay, so we've got 2 minutes left. So, Sarit, kick off. Just give us a punt about yourself, what you do, about Nachama, and then Ryan, I'll give you another minute.
Sure. Okay. So when I'm not doing Limud, which is not a lot of the time, I'm a psychologist. I actually am originally from Johannesburg, and I moved with my husband to Cape Town about 2 years ago. So I've just started a private practice here, and very fortunate to work with the wonderful counselors at Nachama, who just, you know, offer people support free in the hardest times.
Amazing.
Some of them ever face, so that's been a real privilege. That's me.
Okay, Ryan.
Like Sarit said, after our Limud that takes place next Sunday, we'll get back to focusing on our normal daily lives again. I founded a small business called Next Peak, which we're a people development consultancy, and really focused a lot on team development and leadership development and coaching and anything in the people development space. I guess it just is about life. And I think Limud links so well to this, that it's about looking at potential and what we can be, and taking people from wherever they are right now to wherever they either believe they can be, or we need to help them really understand the potential that they have to really.
Well, they don't know where they're going. You're going to direct them.
And that might be where we start. Yeah. So I love what I do, and I've seen such amazing success in people's lives. So it's a real privilege to be involved in that work.
So this is the Hebrew Order of David. This is the HOD Hour. You can go to our website, which is www.hodavid.org. We've been talking to Sarit Sweezer and Ryan Davis, both from Limud. Limud conference takes place next week on the 17th, next Sunday on the 17th of May. You can go, Ryan, give us the addresses and the contact details of where they can go to sign up, and you've got a half a minute.
Great. Okay, so you can, everything is on the website, limud.org.za. You'll find all the information there. You'll find also an email address if you need it for extra information. All the sign-up information for the tickets is on limud.org.za or our Facebook page or our Instagram pages. And we can't wait to learn with everyone and really build the South African, continue to build this incredible South African Jewish community together.
So, sorry. Sweezer, Ryan Davis from Limud, Natalie Solomon from Johannesburg, who helps me with the HOD Hour. This is Stan Claff. Wish everybody a good Shabbos, and hope to, inverted commas, see you at Limud, and good luck with the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming onto the show.
Thank you.
And you'll be amazed at how quickly time flies when you're having fun.
Amazing. Thanks, Stan. Such a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you.
See you there.